Welcome back, Wisconsin and beyond. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. It's Monday. It's 3:30. That means I'm going to be joined by my little buddy and friend, Dom Salvia, who's got an amazing show after mine every day from 4 to 6 p.m., the Dom Salvia Show. Welcome back, Dom. Nice to have you.
Hey, Maggie Dawn. Happy day, sister. Nice to see you.
Good to see you as well. Folks, if you were looking to hear from Tom Perez, the director of the Office of Intergovernmental Affairs in the White House and a senior advisor to President Biden, literally just heard from the woman who set up the interview. He has been pulled into a briefing with the president about the evolving situation as a result of Hurricane Helene along the eastern seaboard. So let's start there, Dom. I am just absolutely blown away. It looks biblical in proportions, yeah, to say the very least.
It is. It's really scary stuff. And when we saw this thing barreling down last week, the speed at which it got to a category four and how fast it hit the land, it just kept on going. The meteorologists, people were warning, hey, this is going to be a big one. This could be bad. But it's hard to imagine that the folks, you know, up in Asheville, North Carolina, were thinking that they were going to get to the degree of damage and mayhem that has hit that community and several others in that area. Is terrible.
It really is. I've traveled all around that area, yeah, in Asheville, North Carolina. I've been in some of the areas on the coast of South Carolina and North Carolina, really beautiful, mm-hmm, country. And I mean, hundreds of people have died. I mean, this is an absolute emergency. And let's listen to the insightful comments of the former MAGA president as it relates to what's going on. Aaron, if you can play, let's see, this is cut six.
Alabama and all of the other states who have been really hit hard by that very large hurricane. That was that big one, a very large hurricane this week. We're with you all the way. And if we were there, we'd be helping you and you'll be okay.
You'd be what, tossing out paper towels to the crowd or maybe throwing some fried chicken to the crowd?
That's what it conjured up was images. Like, how would Trump handle a massive emergency, you know, where millions of Americans are in need of solid, fact-based, scientifically based leadership to help address a public health crisis? Oh, wait. We know what he would do because he was the president during COVID and he was telling people to use bleach and sunlight to cure themselves. He threw paper towels at the people in Puerto Rico when they suffered catastrophic losses. I mean, just from a common sense perspective. And if we're hooked up to the honesty machine here, yeah, for a minute, do you really think Donald Trump is the one you want in the Oval Office if your home gets demolished by a tornado or a flood, or we see a second global pandemic? I mean, I don't get it, Dom. There's just, the man does not have credibility when it comes to this sort of leadership because he doesn't have empathy for other people's pain.
And that certainly is difficult to overcome when he truly, truly has no empathy. And we've seen, as you mentioned, the other disasters that have befallen this country while Donald Trump was the president, and his absolute lack of leadership made those scenarios worse. So it's not going to be any better. And when we took a look at and think about and ponder the nightmare of a second Trump administration, well, it's not just Trump. It's also going to be the lackeys that come in. At least last time, there were probably some good, you know, deep state administrative types. You know what I mean? Like, they knew what was going on.
You mean some subject matter experts, right, that know, right, something?
I mean, yeah. Jason Miller, who's going to be his Trump's point person on, you know, hurricane relief in the southern part of the country? Of course, in Donald Trump's mind, it's always him. He is the, yes, best expert on everything, which is a terrible thought. And then the lackeys that would come in, you have to question that as well. But it's thankfully, thankfully, we have a president like Joe Biden who has empathy, who understands, you know, the point of governance. It's amazing how we see right now. I mean, MTG, a lot of folks are screaming for aid, of course, and we want to give them as a community, as a country. That's what we are for. This is for the people. Well, they'll be the first ones to try to, you know, cut funding for FEMA or those kinds of things when everything seems to be going okay, at least for them.
Yeah, that's, again, oh, I guess there is a role for government. You know, when natural disasters strike and people mm-hmm. need help. Frankly, MTG hanging out at the Bama game this weekend, probably not a good look. And Donald Trump there as well at the Bama game. I, what are you doing? Like, I'm sorry, SEC football and political pandering is more important than showing your face in a region that has been biblically destroyed, that has killed hundreds of Americans. Like, no. Saturday college football, much more important.
Yeah, everything's totally normal. I mean, a 1,000-year flood. You know, the description of biblical proportions. Well, you know, it's Saturday. Let's go watch some football.
It just doesn't, none of this sits well with me. And that's fundamentally the question I have for people. If it's your home that is now 10 feet underwater, everything that you've owned destroyed, who do you want in the White House? Do you want a person that expresses compassion meaningfully and sincerely, whatever you may think of her other policies? Or do you want someone who has consistently demonstrated an absolutely pathological inability to show compassion or concern for anybody other than himself? I just, like, this is the thing that to me puts this choice this November in such sharp relief. If I'm one of Donald Trump's advisors, I'm a little nervous about all this.
Oh, hell, Donald Trump slapped the label on a generator and go down and, you know, try to make some money out of it. Isn't that what they do? I mean, it's always the grift. So even if there were to be some sort of, benefit for the folks, some disaster relief, you got to question the motives of the folks that would distribute it, given their propensity to grift. And is it thoughts and prayers now, or can we discuss, you know, the challenges of climate change? Is it too early? Because that hurricane sped up and fed like crazy and just blasted through this country. 1,000-year flood, biblical proportions, but, you know, there's no such thing as climate change.
It's just
hoax from China, if you believe the former president.
Or if you believe Ron Johnson, like, maybe it's a thing, but who cares? Because it's people on the coastline in the south that are dying, and people in on the continent of Africa and South America that are going to die, and it's not Wisconsinites, so all to the better. We'll have to find that sound of Ron Johnson saying that last spring in a Senate committee hearing, because, you know, Ron, again, always having the insightful fact-based analysis of human suffering. That is the question to me. Like, we are facing circumstances where people are suffering, right?
Yeah.
What do you want in a leader when confronted with massive scales of human suffering? And I don't care if we're talking about economic policy or emergency relief or the war in Ukraine or now Israel starting what is a ground invasion of Lebanon and our world inching closer to all out warfare in the Mid East. Do you want a president that is concerned about human suffering? That to me is a fundamental question. And I have yet to see any indication. If he claims to care about certain people's suffering, right?
Yeah.
When he talks about immigration, okay, I'll grant you that he seems to be concerned with people's safety and security in this country. But so what? What does that mean other than mass deportations and saying, I don't care about the safety and human suffering of other people? When does that group of people that he doesn't care about their suffering include you, right? Like, that is the question. When does he come for you? When are you no longer in the in crowd? Which I guess leads me to this point. I mean, over the last, couple of weeks, there has just been a seemingly never-ending stream of overtly racist and sexist stuff coming out of the former president's mouth and his supporters, like Mike Lindell, selling pillows for $14.88, which is a known Ku Klux Klan and Nazi number, 1488. They tattoo it on their bodies. This constant spewing of all of this nonsense. Like, why does it feel like Donald Trump and the MAGA cult is deciding which Americans are worthy of human dignity, right? Like, which Americans, which people living here are in the in crowd and who's in the out crowd? Like, I didn't know that our country's domestic and foreign policy was going to be reduced to lunchroom, like, cliques. That's what it feels like, only with existential consequences. What do you think's going on? I don't get it.
I think it's very consistent for the mega philosophy. Until it happens to me, and even if it does happen to me, as long as it's happening to somebody else, it's really not an issue. And the way, even to this case, as the AP was reporting, that Trump today, without evidence, saying that the Biden administration and North Carolina's Democratic governor are going out of their way to not get help in Republican areas. I mean, there's still people that are missing and haven't been identified. I mean, this is still an active crisis, and the former president is already trying to lay some sort of blame that something isn't happening quick enough. And, you know, it's the Democratic administration and the Democratic governor that are screwing the Republicans in North Carolina. I mean, that's where he goes to in a crisis. Blame something, even though there's no proof, even though he has no concept of what is actually being done. But hell, it comes out so easily, so he's just going to say it. It's the most consistent philosophy of the MAGAs.
Well, and I think J.B. Pritzker, when he was talking about Donald Trump calling Kamala Harris stupid, nailed exactly what's going on in the MAGA cult leader's mind. Let's listen to this sound, Aaron, if you don't mind. It's cut 8. And I'm sorry I sprung it on Aaron. Here's the setup here. What you just said, right? What Donald Trump is saying, that Joe Biden and the democratically elected and Democratic governor of North Carolina are withholding assistance from Republican counties. Why is Donald Trump saying that? Because it's untrue. It's false. It's a lie, obviously. He's saying that because that's exactly what he would do. It's projection. Let's take a listen.
Joe Biden became mentally impaired. Kamala was born that way.
Wow.
She was born that way. And if you think about it, only a mentally disabled person could have allowed this to happen to our country. Anybody would know this.
And then J.B. Pritzker, if you've got his response as well. And if you don't, Aaron, that's okay, because I can summarize it. J.B. Pritzker was getting interviewed, I believe it was on NBC, on one of their Sunday morning shows, and he goes, well, Donald Trump said that because he's projecting. Like, he's the one that has this... obviously isn't quite playing with a full deck, many would say, including his niece, who is a licensed psychologist. I mean, that's what he does. Kamala Harris isn't smart. More of the same. People, do you really want domestic and foreign policy in the United States to be reduced to what happens in high school cafeterias when human suffering is at issue? I sure don't. We'll be back with more Doc Salvia on the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. You want to join our conversation? 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC. Back with more in just a moment.